This episode of Trophy Horrors is brought to you in part by Play31.net. Play31.net offers single tables, speed, sit and go tournaments, and regularly scheduled multi-table freeze-out tournaments with hundreds of players. Make sure to use code 1212 when registering. That's Play31.net.
Put the trophies up, it's another episode. I told you long time ago, we about to explode. It's something mean, it's supposed to be easy. But I told that beats are awesome and I doubt it be amazing. But enough about me, yes we all played the ball to make it this far. But honestly, when it was for the fans, it would have been a long time ago. Bio, born on SG, grew up on CDP. City mood, I didn't got it wrong, we call it PG. Rated M, I don't blame much for the violence in your household. Behold,
Trophy Horror.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trophy Horrors. This is episode 177. I'm your host, Tricky Mick. Alongside with me, I yield to no one.
I'm going commando.
Apparently, with your snack wrappers there, it's crinkling in the microphone.
Yep, that too.
Also with us is Alex.
I have to know, yield, and yeah, I gotta know. Is this, are you upping your arsenal? Like, say, Ratchet and Clank? Is that what going commando you're going?
Yes, sir, I am. I fired up, I have the Ratchet and Clank collection, and I fired up going commando last night.
I remember, one of the parts I specifically remember about that game is the gun called the Zodiac, which is uber powerful, but it's kind of like, I remember when in college and I was waiting for my friend to actually be able to buy it. It's over a million bolts, isn't it? Or something insane, right?
I don't know. I just started it. I'm on the third or fourth planet. So far I've got the what's it called? The zipper? No, not the zipper. You throw like, ninja stars and they bounce around and they'll hit like three targets or they'll hit the same target three times. But I'm liking that little gun.
Yeah, once you...
I like the guns on this game a lot better than I did the first game.
Oh, yeah, the guns get better and better because they keep getting crazier and crazier, and they keep refining them. They keep iterating on each gun, so it gets crazier and better and more awesome. But the thing, I remember we built up the Zodiac so much because it's supposed to be the most powerful gun in the game. And, like, the way it kills everything on the screen. The problem is that it's kind of boring because, like, the Rhino's really flashy. And it shoots missiles everywhere, but the what I remember about the Zodiac is it kind of like lets out these little electrical like bolts, and like the screen just goes white and then everything's dead. So there's like it's kind of like a very weak crescendo, very anticlimactic, but powerful as hell. And I actually never played. I started with Up Your Arsenal. That's the first game in the series I played. Went back and played the first Ratchet and Clank, but never played Going Commando.
All right, speaking of anti-climatic, Alex, I have to announce Donnie again is not here this week, so don't look forward to an introduction of Donnie. But what we can do is we can go into our updated trophy counts. I am level 26, total trophies of 5,812, and a plaque count of 38. Alex, I see you got some trophies this week. What are you at?
Yes, I'm plowing through Dead Space Extraction, dismembering some necromorphs. I've gone through normal and gotten all 50 stars. Like, there's 10 levels, and I've gotten 5 stars on each, which is the top rating you can get. I've upgraded all the weapons. I've upgraded my rig and my stasis, so I'm about as powerful as you can be, and I'm doing my impossible playthrough. So there's normal, there's hard, there's expert, and then there's impossible. And impossible, once you beat impossible, you get 3 trophies. You get one for being on the 3 difficulties that are higher than normal. So they stack, so I'm just going to play on the impossible. And essentially, since I'm going through with the force gun, which just shoots out like a burst of energy and pushes all enemies back, and it's powerful as hell, I'm just going through the game with that gun, and you know, maybe the line gun and the plasma cutter, and I'm just dominating everything. I've been through the first 2 levels with no issue, didn't even get close to dying. So that's it's not very impossible. In fact, it seems very possible to beat the game, especially when you use the force gun. But my total trophy count now is at 4,364. My level is 23, and I am still sitting on 50 platinums and 49 games. But hopefully, when I get the Dead Space Extraction platinum, that'll get me to a legitimate 50, the half-century mark for platinum trophies.
All right. And Yield, what about you, buddy?
I got a few trophies this week as well. I am sitting on level 19 with a trophy count of 3064 and a platinum count of 36.
All right, let's move into what we're playing. Alex, I know you already started what we're playing, but let's continue the conversation. What have you been playing other than Dead Space?
Not a whole lot. In fact, it's just been Dead Space, although I really wanted to play MotorStorm Apocalypse because I was a big fan of the Pacific Rift, and I enjoyed that game a whole lot. It's one of those games that's pretty hard to get the trophies in, so I've only got like 29% complete on that game. But Apocalypse was the very intriguing thing for me because obviously I like Split Second a lot, and that's kind of, you can deform the tracks as you need. It's kind of very much a Hollywood thing. Apocalypse, the track deforms around you because it's, well, the apocalypse, and there's natural disasters and shit's going crazy. So that always, the arcade style racing, I always like that. So Apocalypse kind of really kind of shined for me. It was $5 last week on the PlayStation Network, and I saw it on Monday. And I was like, okay, I'll get home and I'll pay for that. I completely forgot, and it went off sale, and it's back up to $19.99.
Dick.
Yeah. Dick move on myself. I dick move myself. I cock block myself. So a little disappointed with that, but I've been focusing most of my energy on playing Dead Space Extraction because I gotta get that plat. I gotta extract that plat.
Nice.
Yeah. I got rhymes. I got rhymes too, Snoop Dogg.
All right, Yield.
Haven't really been playing all that much. I went back and played The Walking Dead 400 Days to get a couple of trophies. I was having issues getting those trophies because for some reason, I guess when I transferred save file over when one PS3 died to the other, apparently the unlock code didn't happen. So my trophy wasn't popping even though I was winning rock, paper, scissors. So I had to re-download the unlock key. That fixed it. I got my two trophies that I missed. I was going to move on to the season 2. I didn't do that quite yet. Instead, I popped in Ratchet and Clank going commando. So, and I was working my way through that. Besides that, I've been doing some Simpsons Tapped Out, Pocket Trains, and Plunder Knots. If you pick up Mortal Storm Apocalypse, you got to let me know because I have that game and we could do some multiplayer.
I have it as well.
Oh, really?
So we could definitely, yes, I do.
Boost!
I got it when I bought my PlayStation 3D display.
How did that work in 3D?
I haven't actually played it in 3D. I haven't actually played the game. So, boo on me, I guess. All right, and I have been playing NHL 15. I've been going through the GM mode and be a pro mode to get all my trophies in that. I'm having lots of fun with it, so that's good. And I haven't really been playing anything else.
Is that, I know that the sports games can be kind of difficult to get the platinum in. Is that one that's easier, or are you just kind of playing for fun? Because we know you're a big hockey fan. Are you just kind of playing for fun, or is it a game that's easy to get the trophies in?
I did look over the trophies. I think the only thing that I'm really going to have an issue with getting the trophies in the game is going to be the recreate the moments. Of course, there's a trophy for...
Oh, so that means you have to lose in the Stanley Cup Finals against the Kings.
I knew he was going to go there. No, that's not one of the moments.
Aw.
You do have to do one of the moments on Superstar difficulty, which is the hardest difficulty in the game. So I'm not really looking forward to that because they do seem pretty difficult to do. But overall, I mean, it looks like it's an attainable platinum, just very time-consuming. That's all I've really been playing this week. Besides Clash of Clans, which I'm actually thinking about starting a Clash of Clans podcast.
Really?
Yeah, maybe we'll get Yield to host it with me because I'm trying to get him to play the game.
You know what would be better than that?
Yeah, negative.
You know,
not doing a Clash of Clans podcast?
You know what would be better than that?
A Simpsons Tapped Out podcast?
A Pocket Trains podcast.
Oh, you know, I was going to go
there too.
There
you go.
The daily 5-minute Pocket Trains podcast.
All right, let's get into our trophies.
See, it's such a good idea. You can't even get through your segue there.
No, I was actually, I'm actually playing Clash of Clans right now and lost my train of thought because I'm in the middle of a raid. Let's get into our topics of the week. I actually didn't want to do this topic today because Donnie's not here, because I know that Donnie's such a big fan of it.
They're making a sequel to Metal Gear Solid Rising Revengeance.
Yes. PlayStation Home is officially shutting down worldwide.
Aww.
Sony has announced that it is closing down the virtual world as of, let's see, March 31st of 2015. According to the PlayStation forums, PlayStation Home will cease to publish any new content starting November 12th, and players will not be able to download any more content after December 3rd. Although the world will still be live, as I said, until March 31st. I was talking to Alex off the show about this, and not a lot of people realize there are trophies associated with Home.
And, did they patch that in?
Yes, they did.
I didn't care. I got tired of having to re-download everything after every update. I gave up.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, I think, because Donnie does have some trophies in Home. I think if you load up the game, like, all the trophies are retroactive. So if you've done something in the past, the trophy will still pop. So if you start up Home, you know a couple trophies might pop for you if you're interested in that type of thing. If you listen to the show, obviously you're interested in trophies.
What are you talking about? This is the Fantasy Football Podcast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, overall, how do you guys feel about Home shutting down? Do you think it's one of those opportunities that they lost? I mean, because Home could have been something big, but they failed miserably.
I thought it was a good idea, but I thought they gave up on it. I think that it was poorly executed. I mean, there was potential there, like you said, but I just think that it wasn't really... And I can't even really say, like, you know, when you throw microtransactions in there, like, then you're starting to get to an area and you have, like, all these people, you're interacting with people in a video game through avatars rather than through voice and through video, like, on the phone or such. And when you've got to deal with strangers, you throw all that together and it's just, and all the loading you had to do, you're just turning me off every single step of the way. And I think that, like I said, it's... A good idea, but I think in the end, I think it started to sputter. You know, you can add a few games here and there. You can add games into Home. But at the end of the day, people aren't going... If people are going to play games, they're going to play games on just straight from their XMB. They're not going to go into Home and play some racing game. So I think that it was just an idea that never kind of fully came together, and they never really truly supported it after a couple years. They saw, you know, this isn't taking off like we wanted. And I think they kind of... gave bits and pieces here and there, like with the PSP, but I don't think they fully ever got behind it, really.
No, the one thing I really liked out of Home was the Red Bull Racing. I did enjoy that little mini game that they had in there.
They should have just had like a pain like Ragdoll game in there. That probably would have helped a little bit. But like I said, you're not going to go into Home. It's like, oh, okay, well, I'll turn on my PlayStation. Oh, I'll go into Home and walk around for a bit, and then I'll play a game with it. No, you're just going to turn on a game and play it from your XMB. So I don't really know what else they could have done. Because let's be honest, like, interacting with people online can really suck sometimes. Unless you know the person well. Like, if you're on Skype and chat like we do, it's a good time. It can be a lot of fun. Or, like, when you guys get together with Borderlands with Homer Gets Duffed. I mean, I'm sure that's plenty of fun. But... when you're just in a room interacting with avatars, with strangers you don't know, even if you know somebody and you're just interacting, it's not fun. It's dumb.
Well, what really killed is when they took out the voice chat in Home, because it was they never perfected it, because what it was they started out and basically you heard everybody talking that was around you, which over a headset, was so bogged down because everybody was talking over each other, you really couldn't hear your friends. Then they did it so it's an area, and that really didn't work. Then they just took it off all completely, and then they said, well, you could do the voice chat with your friends in a certain party. You didn't have to do an area, listen in, and then that never really worked. So all the things they wanted to do at Home, just it never came to – yeah, it's – I think it was a great idea. I mean, the ability to say, you know what? you know, Proven Game is going to do a gamer night. Everybody meet up at home. We'll all do a party, and then we'll launch right into the game from there. This way you didn't have to worry about, you know, oh, well, I can't find the game, blah, blah, blah. Boom, everybody's here. You know what? Let's start up Warhawk. And everybody's in the same party together.
Yeah, you know you're going to get a good reaction from me and Yield when you mention Warhawk.
Oh, yeah. I'm there. So, you better be on my team or you're going to lose.
You know, I got to ask. I know that we played Warhawk together. Yield, were we ever on the same team or were we against each other?
I think we may have been both. But yeah, some of them sarcastic gamer gamer nights, man. Yeah, people groaned when I came in.
My kind of thing that I did, my celebration whenever I killed anybody in a plane, would always do like a barrel roll kind of swirl, like a victory barrel roll. And, yeah, Warhawk was a lot of fun. So Tricky missed out. He didn't get in on that action.
I've never been into the whole flight thing.
Well, it's ground combat too, so there's tanks, and it was all really well balanced between on foot combat, tanks and as well as planes. So I mean, you could do well regardless of. Of course, they had those people that kind of like knew where the binoculars were, and they would go grab the binoculars as soon as they spawned, and then just go to town on people with the binoculars. That kind of airstrike move.
Oh, I love those. Oh, I used to remember. I memorized where every binoc was on the map, man.
As we see, I just described Yield in that previous statement.
Yes. Yes, you did. It was good. I always liked looking for the people who were camping with the binocs. And then when they would come out and would try to binoc somebody, I'd snipe them from across the map.
I was never much of a sniper. I kind of was more of a brute force kind of guy. Go in with a tank and just mess everything up. That was more my style. And I like the automatic.
You kind of messed up my segue there, Alex.
Well, your segues are never good anyway, so who cares?
This one was going to be good.
So it's going to be good like your mom? Oh!
Let's get off mom's because I had to get off yours last night.
That's fine. How do you think I got through college?
All the envelopes on the dresser. Right. Speaking of binoculars and seeing things from above, Ubisoft has officially launched the Assassin's Creed Unity Project Widow. What it is basically an online tour of Paris created to support Assassin's Creed Unity. It's narrated, and the site allows you to explore certain sections of modern-day Paris at street level, famous sites including the Bastille, Notre Dame, and the Palace de la Concorde. But there's another reason for people other than to go have a look, as my internet is now shutting down on me. Art and various other assets from Assassin's Creed Unity are dotted along the site, and there are also details about the French Revolution and how your actions in the game will feed into events. If you're wondering about the name, by the way, it's what some people used to call the guillotine in 18th century Paris. Earlier this week, Ubisoft announced that Assassin's Creed Unity Season Pass, and it also announced that it will have a 2.5D standalone game set in China. Now, I only mention this topic because I know that we're not big Assassin's Creed fans here, but it seems like Ubisoft is really pushing the marketing strategies that they're doing with Assassin's Creed series. How do you guys feel about them setting up this whole Project Widow thing? There you go.
I was looking at Extra Life, excuse me. So the Project Widow, so basically you're saying about how this game, they've got several games planned out. Is that what you're basically getting at?
Well, what they did was they basically set up like a Google Maps type of app. It's on a website. But it's okay. Google Maps, and you can go into modern-day Paris, but they've updated it to show certain aspects of where your character in Assassin's Creed Unity will interact with all things, you know, the French Revolution and whatnot. It's not really that I want to talk about too much about Project Widow. I want to talk about the marketing strategy that Ubisoft's given for Assassin's Creed because, you know, we had the thing where they were doing a slot machine to, you know, get perks. Now they're doing this Google Maps type thing. How do you guys feel about the marketing strategy? I mean, do you think Ubisoft is going overboard with their marketing, or do you think, you know, hey, this is what we need to keep this franchise fresh and new?
No, I think they're going overboard because, I mean, most gamers already are kind of tired of Assassin's Creed. Although, granted, from what I've heard, Black Flag pumped a lot of new blood back into it.
You never played Black Flag?
No, because I wanted to play 3. Black Flag's got me more intrigued, but I kind of want to, I know I've been told I don't have to go back and play 1 and 2, but I'm kind of going to play 1 and 2 so that way I get all the nods and the references. I'm not going to play Brotherhood and Revelations.
Okay. Alex, you seemed like you wanted to say something about this, too.
I think you made a good point when you said this is how we can help keep this franchise fresh. But it's an old franchise now. It's dated. It's at least 10 years old, right?
No, it can't be 10 years old because
It has to be because I remember playing the first Assassin's Creed in college. I haven't been out for 10 years, but
I'll look it up. The first Assassin's Creed came out for the PS3, so.
Well, if you think you pump out, they've been pumping out about a game. The first few was a game every couple of years.
Now they're pumping out one a year.
Have they been doing it since the inception, one a year? I thought the first three.
Well, no. The last one, I think after
Brotherhood, they've been pumping one out a year.
I think it was actually before that. The first Assassin's Creed came out November
13, 2007. Okay.
So it's been out 7 years. Okay.
That makes it even more ridiculous how many games they put out for it. But I think that it's still an aged franchise. It's not new anymore. So I think that they have to do things like this to keep the attention on it. I mean, granted, you could say, hey, just make the games awesome. But when people, you know, people talk about marketing and brands and marketing your brand, I think after a time, people hear the same game over and over again, and people fall in and out. You'll have new players come in. You'll have old players kind of say, I'm kind of done with this. To me, they could put on a three-ring circus with 50 elephants and have giraffes juggling like ice cream trucks. At the end of the day, there's nothing that they could do to reignite my excitement in this. The strategy that they took, it's like, okay, let's just pump out as many games as we can and sell as much as we can while the fire's still hot. And now they're taking this different strategy where it's like, we're still going to, you know, pump them out, but we're going to put more into the marketing. For me, it's not working, but I think it's something they have to do now to get people excited because they're with a franchise like this, you've got to grab new players. I mean, you can't rely on the same people to play again and again and again. I mean, Tricky and Donnie, they played Black Flag, but like me, Brotherhood was for me the peak, and it's like after that, I'm done. So they kind of have to get the word, I guess, out there to those new players who.
Alex, I gotta tell you, you gotta play Black Flag. They sing pirate chanties.
I can right. I can just listen to Professional Pirate from Muppet Treasure Island sung by Tim Curry. That's all I need.
All right. Let's go through this.
Ooh, that would probably be really good. I need to watch that then.
All right, let's go through this a little quickly because there's actually a lot of Assassin's Creed games that I didn't even know about. In the time period of the Third Crusade, we had Assassin's Creed, which was released in 2007. We had Assassin's Creed Altair's Chronicles, which came out for the DS, also came out for mobile. And we also had Assassin's Creed Bloodlines that came out for the PSP. The Chronicles came out in 2008, Bloodlines came out in 2009. During the Resistance period, we had Assassin's Creed 2, which came out in 2009. Assassin's Creed 2 Discovery, which came out in 2009 for the DS and iOS. Project Legacy, which came out in 2010, which was a Facebook game. You had Brotherhood and Revelations come out in 2010 and 2011, respectively. Assassin's Creed Multiplayer Rearmed, which came out with iOS. That was in 2011. And Assassin's Creed Recollection, which came out in 2011, also for the iOS. For the colonial era, you had Assassin's Creed 3 come out in 2012. You had Liberation come out in 2012. You had Black Flag come out in 2013. Also in 2013, you had Utopia and Pirates, which came out for Android and iOS. You had Assassin's Creed Rogue, which is coming out this year for the PS3 and the 360. And you also have Unity coming out this year for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and the newly announced Assassin's Creed Chronicles China, which has not had a release date, but it's coming out for the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox.
That's a lot of games.
That's a whole lot of Assassin's Creed I don't really care to play or hear about ever again.
So you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 games in 7 years.
That's more than two games a year for those who don't do math that well.
Well, I mean, in fairness, a couple of these games, I'm not going to say the development of them were simple, but a lot of them are a lot simpler than others. I mean, if you just had the Facebook games or the Android games, you take those out, then, you know, you're averaging about one a year. But with that being said, that's still a lot of Assassin's Creed games.
That is a lot of Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah. You can keep my attention for maybe a trilogy at the most, but when you start getting, at least in the video game world, in movies, you know, I'll go four or five or six movies. But if, you know, in video games, you can keep me occupied for about three games, and then after that, probably not going to play a whole lot anymore. There have been a few exceptions. Ratchet and Clank and Sly Cooper have been exceptions to that. But it's very,
Uncharted.
Very rare. Uncharted is another exception. It depends. You know what? It depends, because if they don't have the same characters again, I'm kind of torn, because I don't necessarily want... The ending to 3 was so perfect. You know what? If they just have new characters again, like if it's mainly focused on new characters, and I've talked about how I'm really not planning to buy a PS4 at this moment, I might not play it. It's been rare.
You know Nolan North's in it, and I'm pretty sure. Oh, what's the guy's name that plays Sully?
You gonna make me Google
because.
It.
Because Nolan North has updated his Twitter picture, and it's him and whatever that guy's name is in mocap suits. And I'm going to say that's kind of a recent picture. So I'm going to say he's in it.
Not Victor Sullivan. Hold on.
that's the character's name in the actual
that's
game.
That's the character's name.
Richard McDougall. Dongle.
There you go. But I want to know, is Elaine still in it? Are we going to see Emily Rose, because, you know, everybody who follows Uncharted and all the voice actors know she's quite busy with Haven.
And she's also quite pregnant.
Again? I know she had one kid.
I only knew about the one. I thought she was still pregnant.
I don't know. She's got one kid.
Because she was on an episode of Up at Noon on IGN. Shout out to Greg Miller. Where she was talking about that she definitely was not involved in an Uncharted game at that point because she was, and I say this with all due respect, because this is her words, she was too fat to get into a mocap suit. Obviously referencing the fact that she was pregnant, but those were her words, not mine. What if they do an Assassin's Creed during Greek mythology?
That too, but yeah, that too.
And you run into Kratos.
No, that'd be absurd. No.
Speaking of absurd, Rockstar has revealed a Grand Theft Auto 5 skinned PlayStation 4. It is customized to, obviously, Grand Theft Auto 5. I don't know if you guys actually seen the pictures of this, but this is actually one of the few custom PS4s that I've seen that I would actually consider buying.
I just flicked on to the topic. And you know what? I wish I knew what Uncharted 4 was doing, because that's sick.
It looks nice, doesn't it?
Oh, that is sweet. That's a lot better than Metal Gear's little white sticker on it. I mean, this whole thing is plastered.
Right, because most of the, for our listeners, most of the custom PS4s, the custom is just the hard drive lid. Yeah, it's a hard drive lid at the top.
This is the kind of sticker job that, what's that company? Toasty stickers.
Right.
You know what I'm going with, Tricky.
Right, I know what you're talking about.
This is the kind of stuff that they're putting out. I've seen a Voltron. Someone tweeted a Voltron thing that they put on their PS4, the sticker thing that Toasty Decals did. This is that kind of job. I mean, it's the Rockstar logo is the whole system.
Yeah, it's and nice.
It wraps around. That's sick. I would buy that to get Grand Theft Auto 5 again just to get the system.
All right, as we know, Grand Theft Auto 5 is slated to come to the PlayStation 4 and Xbox on November 18th, with a PC version coming in January. Along with updated visuals and new activities, the enhanced edition of Grand Theft Auto 5 is rumored to feature a first-person mode. Now, before we actually get into a conversation about that, it is worth noting that Rockstar has sold over 34 million copies of Grand Theft Auto 5 on the PS3 and 360. Now, let's get back into this first-person mode. Would either of you guys be interested in playing Grand Theft Auto 5 in first-person?
If I had the game that had the option, I would probably try it for a little bit to see how it felt, but probably not. I enjoy the third-person view. I'm more of a third-person gamer anyway, so there are a few first-person games that I enjoy. But for probably 90% of my games is all third person.
See, and you guys know how I feel about first person.
You hate them. I like them a little bit. I like them more than you do.
Right. But I'm just going to say this before I go to Alex's opinions. If Grand Theft Auto 5 for the PS4 and the Xbox One does have first person view, how long do you think it's going to be before we get our first screenshot of a hooker in first person mode?
Oh, probably about as long as it takes for somebody to put the game in the system and get it loaded.
Alex, what about you? I know you're not big on open world games anymore, but...
Hey, wait a second.
Go ahead.
So I just thought about it. Hooker in first person. So that means if you're in first person mode, then when you stop to pick up a hooker, then are you still in first person mode?
Well, that's what I was saying. It's like, what when you go... That's the question I was asking. It's like, how long is it going to be before you go into the alley... And you turn into first-person mode as they're doing their business.
Wonder if you got to pay extra for that.
Alex, what about you in first-person GTA?
You should have to pay extra for it to do it in an alley. That's disgusting. You know what? I don't know. I don't think people will react to that well. If it's optional and you can play in third-person too, I don't think it'll matter. I just think people are used to third person, to seeing the character, and I don't think, because it was never, with Grand Theft Auto, it was never you were the character, which is the way it is with a lot of first person games. It's very much, here's this character that we've created, like CJ, or I can't remember the guy, or Tommy Vercetti. It was like very clearly about those characters. So Grand Theft Auto they've always, even though it's been kind of an open world game, and you can kind of go, kind of mess around and do whatever you want. It was very much, you know, they crafted the story and they created characters and they wanted you to know that you were playing as that character. So it's never been about being, you know, you being the main character. It's about, you know, you playing the story of these other main characters. So I don't know how people will take to it. I think that people will probably prefer the third person because that's what they're used to. It's what they're comfortable with. So, you know, maybe some people will play it. I prefer third person action. You know, there are some first person games I like. BioShock Infinite, Resistance, stuff like that. But it's not all, I don't, you know, have a broad blanket where I like every single first person game. So it depends. So I think that the third person is still going to be the way to go.
All right. And that is going to bring us to the end of our PlayStation topics. But we do have one more topic that I put in here because this was a slow news week. I thought
Smash Brothers for the Wii U.
So I figured this...
Well, then forget it, because I ain't talking about that. I hate Smash Brothers.
I figured this would be a good topic for us to get into, because if you guys remember, not too long ago, we were talking about 4K TVs and how much they cost. Do you guys remember how much a 50-inch Sony 4K TV cost?
No, but I'm at 3K in trophies, so I'm getting close to being eligible for a TV.
It was $27,000.
$27,000. That's ridiculous.
Okay. Well, Vizio has a solution for you. Vizio, which is a longtime maker of affordable priced HDTVs, has started selling its 4K sets. And the first one is coming out for the logo price of $1,000. Now, before,
how big is this?
Now, before you say $1,000, that's still a lot for a TV. Bear in mind, this is a 50-inch Ultra HD TV.
Well, that's not bad. Mine's 47, so.
And the TV will have a full-array LED blacklight and 64 active LED zones for improved contrast. Ultra HD upscaling and the digital frame rate is user-adjustable. And additionally, the TV will come with the usual suite of entertainment apps like Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, and among others. Now, the P-Series line of 4K TVs first unveiled at CES back in January, started 50-inch and run as large as 70 inches, with that the 70-inch being at $2,500. Still not a bad price for a 70-inch television. Now, with that being said, I know I just recently bought a TV. I know, Yield, you just recently bought a TV.
Yeah.
Alex, I believe you just recently bought an HDTV.
Yeah, earlier this year.
Does the price of $1,000, does this in any way entice you guys, if you had not bought your TV previously, does it, the $1,000 for a 50-inch, does that entice you to go out and buy this TV?
No.
Nope.
Why not?
Because I'm a cheap SOB, and all that means is that the TVs that I wanted to get are now going to be cheaper. So.
Okay. Alex?
I'm serious.
Okay.
I got a 47-inch LED Vizio. I decided that over a Sony Bravia.
Oh, so you do buy Vizios.
I bought a Vizio because side by side, I mean, I spent a month looking at them at different stores and whatever because I wanted, because, you know, I'm a Sony guy. Sony makes good TVs. But side by side, looking at them at different angles, the Vizio was better than Sony. And someone told me that Vizio was started off by a bunch of Sony people that got ticked off at Sony and went and started their own company. So it's Sony technology and a Vizio. So that sold me on it. So I bought mine. I paid, well, I don't know, at the time, I bought it around Christmas. So I got it for, I don't know, $600-$700, I think, when all was said and done. With this coming out, even though it's $1,000, which is only $300 more than what I paid for my first one, and 3 inches bigger.
And it's 4K.
Well, I don't care about 4K, really.
Okay.
But if it, you know, I get my own place, and I got a nice big living room, and I need a bigger TV, I'm not going to say that I wouldn't consider it, but I can look at the LED TV I got now and maybe get a bigger one at a cheaper price, and I'm happy with what I got. So I'd probably go that route instead of getting a 4K. Because, I mean, I haven't seen a lot of them yet. So like I said, I'm not 100% going to say no. But you have to sell me on it. Like, it took years to sell me on the HDTV only because I would watch, you would see the video game demos that you could play with the PS3s and not. You know, they had those hooked up to an HDTV, and I was like, wow, that actually, you can see a difference. And then you'd see the sports on there when they started broadcasting in HD. Wow, you can actually see a difference. Okay, I'm starting believing. But it took a couple of years to get me to believe that.
All right. Well, before I actually go to Alex for his opinions, when it comes to shopping for TVs, you know, you made the reference that you were standing next to a Vizio and a Sony. And the Vizio, in your opinion, looked better, right?
Yes. Yes.
I just want to throw a little monkey wrench in there because you really can't use that as a comparison.
Okay.
And I only say that because of the fact that those four models, they're on 24/7. And they get switched out every so often. So, you know, not that I'm defending Sony, but you don't know how long that Sony model's been on the floor compared to that Vizio and whatnot. And I tell people, because I used to work in the electronics department at Walmart, you can't look at the picture on the floor model and say, oh, this one looks better, or this one doesn't look better. It has to do with the environment, the settings, and whatnot. And, you know, the reason I asked you if you bought a Vizio is because, being that I worked in the hardware department or the electronics department at Walmart, I know that Vizio, when it comes to quality, is entry level. Where, you know, Sony, Panasonic, Mitsubishi, you know, all those companies, they have reputations in making the products. They have the experience in making the products. Vizio, I didn't know what you said about Sony coming in, you know, Sony, ex-Sony employees starting up Vizio.
That's what I heard. I don't know how true it is, but that's what someone told me.
But with that being said, not a lot of people know who what Vizio is, and let alone, you know, the fact that Vizio is making 4K TVs at $1,000 and everybody else is like $2,000, $3,000, to me, that like sends up a red flag in my mind going, well, what's wrong with the Vizio TV that they're able to sell is so low?
Oh, I understand that.
All right, Alex, you said no, this wouldn't entice you. Why wouldn't this entice you?
So my thing is, generally, I look first for the manufacturer that I like. Samsung is big for me. I like a lot of Samsung products, and I'll look for value. The TV that I got, it's really nice, and I got it for under $400. Granted, I got it in January right after, like, Christmas, the holidays, so they had a lot of stuff on sale. But I'm not paying $1,000 for a TV. Like, to be honest, like, I don't make enough money to spend that much money on a TV. I can't justify it. And if you wait a few years, which my TV is perfectly fine for a few years, you can get that TV for much cheaper. Prices will come down. So it's one of those things where it's like I can save probably a good $500 by not buying it now and just waiting. You know, maybe it won't go down that quickly, you know, but I don't care about 4K TV, you know? I mean, isn't high definition good enough? I mean, granted, at some point we all thought standard definition was probably good enough, and nope. But the price tag is just too much for me. And I don't care what you could say, oh, I'm going to get you an IMAX theater. And I'm not, no. Absolutely not. I'm not spending. You could get a projector screen and project it on the back of a brontosaurus, and I'm not going to spend $1,000 for it. It's just not happening. I enjoy watching, you know, I've got a 30-something inch TV, and it's high definition, and I enjoy it, and I spent half the money on it, then about a third of the money on it than that I would have to spend for this TV, so no, I'm not spending that ridiculous amount of money on television. There are very few things that I would spend $1,000 or more for, and a TV is not one of them.
All right, gotta cut in here, but before I do, it's your boy, Donnie, that DTN Young Twizzle. I want to leave a comment, even though I'm speaking to you from beyond two souls. I'm with Alex and Yield 100% on this. And yes, Tricky, I know the evil within is going to have something to say about this in the future. But no, I wouldn't buy this either. Because, yeah, the value, when this becomes more popular, is going to drop. And also, that this is something that people still don't realize for some reason, is that even though you have an HD TV, the program you're watching might not be in HD. So you're looking at a standard definition program on an HD TV. So with this 4K TV, nothing's been shot in 4K yet. Well, not a television program, but as far as I know, and I'm quite sure that nothing on television has been shot in 4K. In fact, the only thing in 4K are movies at the theater. Before they can even be brought to DVD or Blu-ray, they must drop the definition. So, once again, it's like a waste of money type thing. And Tricky, if you did buy this for $1,000, I guess you're not that upset that nothing's in 4K because you knew what you was getting yourself into. Peace out.
All right, well, that's fair enough, obviously, but it's one of those things, I'm a technology nerd when it comes to things. Like, I bought my PlayStation 4 when it came out. I got my Galaxy 5 when it came out. You know, I'm one of those early adopters, and I like being on top of the curve when it comes to technology. Obviously, you know, we've talked about how much I spent on my current TV, which I think Alex probably had a heart attack when he heard that.
Yeah. Do you want to tell the listeners how much you spent?
I think we said it before, but you can tell them again.
It was like $2,500, wasn't it?
Alex?
No, I don't remember. So I'm probably gonna shit a brick for a second time when you tell me.
Let's just say there was three zeros with a three in front of it.
I was close. Alex is speechless. You must have worked a lot of overtime, because I gotta say, when I bought my TV, the only reason I got it when I got it was because I was putting in, what was it? It was like three or four 12-hour days a week plus every Saturday, and that was when I was making entry-level pay when I started at where I work now. So that took a few weeks to get that money for that TV, or no, not a few, a couple weeks, because of the overtime I was working.
Well, I you know, I don't want to brag, but it wouldn't take me that long.
I don't want to brag, but I'm going to.
it doesn't take me that long to save up that amount of money with my job.
Well, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Why be that way?
Mr. Park Place, Mr. Boardwalk Penthouse. Tricky Mick.
I mean, if I hadn't just recently bought my TV, I might consider this, because, see, going back with the technology snob, I'm one of those people that, like, my best TV is going to be in my living room. And
as it should.
And the amount of money I just spent on this TV, what I would do is, if I bought this 4K TV, I would put this TV out in my living room and then put the TV that I own now into my bedroom, which is what I did with my other HDTV. I had a little 19-inch standard definition television in my bedroom. And when I bought this TV, I moved my Sony Bravia into my bedroom. Now, like, if I watch TV in my bedroom, it's like the whole room's lit up. It's like a major change. So, like, I don't need another TV, so, you know, if I wait a while and whatnot, and, you know, I decide, hey, I'm going to go 4K. But as, I don't know who said it, but it was one of you two. There's really no need for a 4K TV right now. There's not enough stuff out there to warrant me going out and saying, you know what, let me stick my 3D 55-inch in my bedroom and put a 50-inch 4K in the living room.
That was me, not only in my first patch to this episode, but also in previous episodes. Peace out.
Well, the way you spend money, we ought to... I ought to message the guys and be like, you need to watch those books a little bit closer, because he's getting a little nuts.
I'm not getting nuts.
You're going to come home with a Pequod from from Moby Dick. How much did you spend on that? I spent $25,000 for this worthless old ship.
The goddess is actually surprised that I haven't gone out and bought an X-Bone yet.
Can you be on this podcast? Can you be the host of this podcast if you have that?
No, he can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Because I'm buying it for research purposes only.
Research purposes. Listen here. Don't we have an Xbox person on the site?
Yes, we do.
Then that person is the research person for the site. This is a Sony podcast. We all here swore an oath to Sony.
I know. You know what? I know why Tricky is doing this. And you want to hear why, Yield?
Okay.
Because he has no hope of catching me and Donnie in Platinums, even if I stop getting Platinums after Extraction. So he's, like, going to just throw in the towel instead of, you know, going years and years and years without reaching us. He's going to be like, oh, well, I'm splitting time between two consoles, so... Of course I'm not going to reach you guys.
I'm splitting time between three consoles now.
It's an excuse.
And then he'll talk smack and be like, well, I've got more achievements than you've got.
I'm splitting my time between three consoles now, so.
Well, you know, Alex, I am, like, still knocking on the door. I'm only two behind him.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you'll eventually overtake him.
I know I will.
All right. With that being said, that brings us to the end of our topics. But we do have our question of the week, which is yet another topic. It's quick news. Activision Blizzard has recently announced that they're canceling, officially, the MMO Titan, which never really was officially announced. But after 7 years of it being in development, they have officially canceled it. One of the creators of the game, Blizzard co-founder and CEO, said that it's awkward to talk about so much because it wasn't officially existed. But he said basically they didn't find the fun. They didn't find the passion. We talked about how we put through the re-evaluation period and actually what we reevaluated is whether the game was really wanted to be making, and the answer was no. They said that they think they got too big for the britches after World of Warcraft got so much success, saying, hey, we know how to make an MMO. Let's go make something that nobody's ever seen before. And it never came true. Now, that's the news. The question that I'm posing to you two gentlemen and our listeners is, do you think there is another developer out there that could actively work on a game for 7 years and still be able to take a hit because of all the money they invested in and still be in business? Now, obviously, Activision and Blizzard, they can fall back on their numerous other series. But we see, you know, just to bring up a point, you look at, like, Duke Nukem Forever. That game alone closed 12 studios. So do you think there's another company out there that could suffer this type of hit? And so, you know what? You know, we live and we learn. Let's move on.
I was going to say Activision, but I forgot that Activision and Blizzard, they're a part of each other now. So that is one way they could take the hit, because they went in partners, bought one out, whatever. So they've got that extra money. Is there another company that could go 7 years? Well, I was gonna say Activision, but at the rate they pump out Call of Duty, but probably not.
Alex, just feel free to jump in there, buddy.
Oh, sorry, I got something on my claw. Oh. Shit, I was on mute.
I was saying, is Alex waiting for his cue?
How many times does this happen where someone starts talking after they mute their mic, but they don't have their mic unmuted? I know it happens to Donnie all the time.
Alright.
Donnie and I, birds of a feather, floating in the same boat there. I think that smaller indie developers, who, if they just tried to scrap their game, they couldn't survive. They would have to finish it. There's no possible way. Activision or Blizzard, sorry. Blizzard has money from World of Warcraft and their other games, Diablo 3. Didn't that just come out on PlayStation 3 recently?
Yeah, I believe so.
Came out for PlayStation 3 a while ago. Just recently came out for the PS4 and Xbox.
Okay. So they have other sources of money. And, we before we start the show, Tricky mentioned Naughty Dog. And if they decide to just scrap Uncharted 4, could they survive? They got Sony money, so they could survive. An indie developer, I think that it would...
They couldn't do it now.
And I think there are, even smaller owned studios. I mean, you see games like... You remember teams like Raven with Activision, that games didn't sell as well as they thought they would, and Bizarre Creations, they got shut down. I mean,
Even games that do good get shut down.
Yeah. So I think that Team Ico, like The Last Guardian, does that team just completely shuttered after, obviously, Ueda left, but is that team completely shuttered if they don't ever finish The Last Guardian, which we assume will never happen? No one expects that game to come out. You see, like, Double Fine, they've kind of diversified themselves by releasing multiple downloadable games for, PSN and Xbox Live. So some studios, they could definitely, take the hit, but, I think that not everyone has that luxury, and I definitely don't think that, while Blizzard can take the hit, I don't think, like, a smaller studio could. You have to be smarter about the way you invest and smarter about the games that you create. Because, you look at EA, and they scrapped a whole bunch of NBA games, their yearly NBA Live games.
Yeah, but they weren't in development for 7 years.
True, but they scrapped them every year. And they said, this isn't quality. So obviously it can be done, but you have to have quite a bit of money. And you have to have, the most important thing is you have other sources of income. You have other sources other things that you can sell to people while you're making the game.
Well, let me just throw this out to you. Do you think Rockstar, if half, 7 years of development, Grand Theft Auto 5, they just turned around and said, you know what? This is a shit game. We're not going to release this. Do you think Rockstar could survive?
Yes.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, because if they said the game sucked, everybody knows what they do with Grand Theft Auto. If they scrapped it and said, we're starting over, or we're going to come back to it, I think they'd be all right because the next game they put out, they would get the money. They've already proven that they can kind of do a couple things at once because I'm sure even though they were working on Red Dead, that they were also working on 5. Even though when Red Dead was done, the shift was going to 5. You know that they just didn't all of a sudden go, okay, Red Dead's done, now let's get rolling on 5. They were doing 2 games at once. Just one is their main focus, and the other
one's all
storyboard.
Yeah, but that's different studios you're talking about. I'm talking about Rockstar North. If Rockstar North itself said, we're going to scrap Grand Theft Auto 5, I don't think Rockstar North survives. Because you have to take into account that they've been 7 years, you know, and I know there's other criteria in this conversation that I'm not pointing out, but Rockstar North, if they have no revenue for 7 years, and they're dependent on the sales from Grand Theft Auto 5 to put them back in, you know, back into the red, or is it black? I don't know, red or black. You guys get the reference I'm making.
Black.
But if they just outright said, you know what, this is shit, we're going to start over, I don't think they could survive because I don't think they're going to have the finances to restart back over. I think Rockstar North gets shut down. Now, other studios have made other Rockstar games, but see, and a lot of people don't don't really put that two and two together, that Rockstar North makes Grand Theft Auto 5. I think it's Rockstar San Diego that made Red Dead.
Oh, see, I thought they were all just one.
No, they have different studios. I'm Googling this right now, so I'm giving proper information. Yeah, their current studios right now, they have Rockstar Japan, Rockstar Leeds in England, Rockstar Lincoln, which is in England, Rockstar London, which is also in England, Rockstar New England, which is in Massachusetts, Rockstar North, which I'm sorry I messed up, is in Scotland. Rockstar San Diego, which is in California, Rockstar Toronto, which is Ontario, and they've closed 2 studios, Rockstar Vancouver, which was in British Columbia, and Rockstar Vienna, which was in Austria. So they have different studios. Rockstar North is known for the Grand Theft Auto series.
Oh, those were good games.
So I don't think that, like, a studio could survive if they weren't backed by, you know, a heavy hitter like World of Warcraft. Because World of Warcraft still has, I think it's 7 million people playing the game. That's impressive.
Is it still subscription-based?
Yes. Well, now I think that what they do is they have a starter thing where you can play the game up to level 20 for free. And then after level 20, you have to pay the subscription, which is still $15 a month. But they still have 7 million people paying that $15 a month. Which, how long has World of Warcraft been out? 10, 12 years now? So.
It wasn't yesterday, so they've made a lot of money.
So that's what I'm saying. I don't think that they would actually be able to survive. You know, I think that if, you know, you brought up Naughty Dog. Let's see. I'm looking at. World of Warcraft was announced on September 5th. 2nd, 2001, and the game was released November 23rd of 2004. So 10 years now. With that being said, like you brought up Naughty Dog. I don't think Naughty Dog survives if they decided to scrap after 7 years Uncharted 4. Even with Sony money, I think Sony would actually shut them down.
Well, I mean, I think that
I doubt that.
I mean, Naughty Dog is obviously very careful in what they make. They've gone, Uncharted was a very safe bet because, you know, obviously PlayStation fans are familiar with Tomb Raider. It's got a very Indiana Jones kind of vibe to it. I mean, it was a safe bet. And The Last of Us, not necessarily like a huge risk either. I mean, granted, putting a lot of money into any project is going to be a risk because you don't know how it's going to sell. But I don't think that either one of those were, I think those were kind of safe but good bets for them because Naughty Dog does characters really well and they do story really well and that's what they leaned on in those games. I think if you're Blizzard, if you're going to take a risk and you're going to be, you know, a little bit crazy, like Blizzard can do that, so they're more apt to take a risk like that with a game they can just shut down and say, no, we're not going to put it out. they're more apt to do that than Naughty Dog, because obviously they have World of Warcraft, but a lot of other studios, they're going to be a lot more careful about the way they tread. So I don't think you'll ever see Naughty Dog just say, oh, we're going to cancel a game. I mean, Naughty Dog's never had a game in development for 7 years. In that 7 years, they could put out three Uncharted games.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, you know, they're not talented or whatnot. Yeah, but like,
my point is not that you said that. My point is that typically if you're going to come up in a situation where a team has to cancel a game after such a length of time, it's going to be a team that can absorb that risk. They're in that situation, and they put themselves in that situation because they can absorb the risk, and they can still stick around after that.
Well, don't you think it's more of a risk for them to put out a shitty game than to scrap it altogether? In this world, we were bringing up Naughty Dog, but Naughty Dog has a reputation for putting out quality games. But just hypothetically, let's say Uncharted 1 came out, and it was not the game that we say. Let's say it was a shitty game. Do you think Naughty Dog would have the success now? If Uncharted 1 was a shitty game, but Uncharted 2 was the game that we all love, do you even think Uncharted 2 would have been made, is the question. Because I think your reputation is everything. Because if you don't put out that quality game, nobody's going to come back for your sequel. I mean, look at Naughty Bear, because Naughty Bear was a great premise, but it was a bad game. They put out the second game, which was an improvement, but nobody knew it was an improvement because nobody played it because of the first game.
I think people would still play it because the first Uncharted, really, it took a while to get going. And a lot of that could have been because Sony's expensive console at launch, but it took a while to get going. You didn't hear people go, oh my god, Uncharted, until Uncharted 2 hit. Uncharted 1 was, at least to me, was more of an underground. It was a handful of people who played it and be like, oh, I've played that game. No, I haven't played it yet. Dude, here, you need to play this game. It's that good. And then when 2 came out, you know, that got everybody playing it.
I think that something that the next thing I'm going to say is kind of going to go to Tricky's point and support what he's saying. Naughty Dog, after the PlayStation 2 era, they were known for Crash Bandicoot and Jak and Daxter. You know, they had a good reputation. They've been around for a while. They've been around since the 80s. So they're established. But it was really Uncharted that kicked them all, that got them as much fame and made them a household name, really, and The Last of Us made it even stronger. But, people consider them the best in the business, not because of Jak and Daxter, but because of what they did with Uncharted and how they've kind of – we're in this new kind of era of games where it's not about necessarily all gameplay. It's about style and the way you present it and, you know, using mocap and excellent sound and good voice acting and well-written stories and good characters. So that kind of brought it, like, you know, at the PlayStation and Xbox era, you started to see that become far more important than it was before. So I think that Tricky has a point where if the original Uncharted bombed, you know, I'm not sure that people would have played, stuck around for the second Uncharted. Because, I mean, you see games that Dead Space, the first one didn't sell as well as they wanted it to. They made Dead Space 2, and because Dead Space 1 was so good, people went out and bought Dead Space 2, and Dead Space 2 was a success. You know, Darksiders was a game that, you know, people loved it, and they went out and bought Darksiders 2 because of it. So I think if you've got a disappointing first game in a series, you have to wonder, can they, and not just like sales-wise, but if it's just a bad game, can they continue on with it? And I think it would be hard to, they'd be hard-pressed to do that. Luckily, Naughty Dog is such a good developer that we don't really have to worry about that, because everything, they turn out pretty much gold. But
I mean, also look at like Mirror's Edge. Mirror's Edge was a cult hit, wasn't very well received.
Are you talking critically or commercially? Because commercially it undersold, but EA and fans have wanted it. There's a reason a game doesn't develop a cult following because it's bad. Generally, games that have a cult following.
No, it was a good game. It was a good game.
So because it was a good game, it developed a cult following and it stuck in EA's head. It's the same with Dead Space. It was the exact same with Dead Space. Dead Space sold better. And is maybe more well critically received, but it's because of the quality of the first game that allowed the second game to be made. If a game completely bombs the first time, chances are that it's not going to... Well, here's an example. If you've got a good idea and you believe in the idea, Assassin's Creed. First game was not well received critically. It commercially it was, but critically it was not. But yet they believed in it so much, and they made the second game, and it was far better.
And they kept improving on it with each game.
So that is an example of a game that isn't necessarily, is a kind of a disappointment. Not that it was a terrible game, but it was a disappointment. It disappointed a lot of people. And yet they still were able to continue with the series and turn it into a huge hit that just brought in tons and tons and tons of cash. So if a studio believes in an idea, they can pull it off. But I can see how people would be turned off. You know, one bad game, it's, you know, hey, why should I continue on with the series?
All right. Well, that is going to bring us to the end of our topics, and I think we had a good question of the week this week. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it was good, like last week's.
Yep. we always bring the good stuff.
All right, so let's move into our housekeeping.
No housekeeping.
ProvenGamer.com is looking for some writers, podcasters, video editors, news reporters, and generalized help for the site. If you're interested in joining our wonderful staff here, please go to the webpage, click on the Help Wanted tab, and fill out the application, and I will get back to you as soon as possible. While you're on the page, be sure to stop by and read all of our articles and check out all of our videos. Speaking of our videos, you can check out all of our videos on our official Proven Gamer YouTube page by looking up, as I said, Official Proving Gamer. Be sure to leave your comments and, you know, whatnot there. If you want to get a hold of us, there are several ways you can get a hold of us. First, you can send us an email, trophyhorrors@provengamer.com. You can contact us on Twitter by searching for the website at Proving Gamer. The podcast at Trophy Horrors. You can contact me at Tricky Mick. You can contact Yielded. I yield to no one. You can contact Alex at Saundersaurus Rex, and you can contact Donnie at Young Twist. There's other ways you can get a hold of us, and that's our PSN IDs that we are going to try more often to give out. So let's do the run through real quick. Yield, what is your PSN ID, and if you could, please spell it.
I'm keeping it simple and I'm keeping it real. If you want to find me on PSN, it's I Yield to No One. IYIELD. The number 2NO, the number 1. Yeah, I'm one of those guys. And also, if you're going to add me, please tell me that you listen to the show, because I won't add you if it's a blank friend request.
You know, the good thing, Yield, at least you didn't use like a 3 to make an E in your name. That's just damn annoying. Thanks, Taken 3.
Yeah, I was wondering if that was going to get mentioned this episode. Alex, what's your PSN ID?
Yeah, you know how you don't spell Taken? TAK3N. That's not Taken, assholes. All right, so my PSN name is...
but that's how you do Driver 3. DRIV3R.
Look, if we're going to sit here and say, if they put Resistance, if they put a 3 in Resistance and made it, then I might accept it, but Driver? Hell no, I'm not accepting that. That's not a strong enough argument. So my PSN ID is Raise Havoc. It's RAISEHAVOK. And as Yield said, please let me know that you are a fan of Proven Gamer or that you listen to the show. Or if you're a dinosaur or archaeologist. I'm fans of those.
Or an LA Kings
Driver,
fan.
Driver 3 wasn't that good, but I will say that Driver San Francisco was, and everybody needs to play that game if you loved Driver.
And if you want to contact Donnie with all his shenanigans, his PSN ID is ThatDTN. That's THATDTN. And if you want to contact me on the PSN, keep it simple as well. I am Tricky
Jump
Mick.
Solo at CHUMPSOLO.
That's Tricky Mick at TRICKYMIC. And if you do send me a friend request, please, as the other guys have said, please let me know that you listen to the show, because if you send me a blank PSN ID request, I will simply message back, do I know you? And if you don't respond within a day or so, I basically delete it. So.
Oh, and also, unlike Tricky, if you're not on within a 24-hour period, I won't delete you.
Well, I have suspended that only because of the fact that we get 2,000 friends now. So until I get to the point where I have 2,000 friends, then I'm not going to worry about that.
Oh, okay.
If you listen to this podcast, we greatly appreciate it. You probably listen to us on either iTunes or Stitcher. If you could, please leave a rating, preferably 5 stars, and leave us a comment. Let us know how good of a job we're doing or how bad of a job we're doing or what we can make changes. While you listen to this podcast, be sure to check out all of our other podcasts, which include PG Spoilers, which I promise you I'm trying to schedule and get another episode out there. The hard part is finding a topic.
What's it gonna be on?
Well, that's what I was saying. The hard thing is finding a topic that, you know, 4 or 5 people that want to talk about, and also coordinating it to get all the 5 people sitting down the same spot to talk about it.
This is where gamers can suggest something. I mean, or you know what? Does it have to be current, or can it be an old one?
It's whatever you want to talk about. This is the community show. Listeners, even if you don't want us to do a PG Spoilers, record your own show. Send it in to me. I will post it on the site for you.
Well, now we're just getting lazy and having people do our work for us.
Well, no, this has always been the community show. This show, PG Spoilers, is for the community.
And who knows, maybe a podcast will come out of that, and then we can put it on, you can have it on the website.
That's how Trophy Horse got born. We were a community cast on Sarcastic Gamer. Through the love and support of all of our listeners, we've grown, and now we're 177 episodes on our own website now. I mean, dreams do come true. They can happen to you.
When you wish upon a star.
Oh, jeez. Easy there, Jiminy Cricket.
Real quick, I have a suggestion to make this show better.
Go ahead.
More Donnie.
I thought you were going to say Fire Tricky.
No.
Or bring the LA Kings on.
No, of course not. We got a good thing going here with the four of
us. We do need the Kings on here to show us their trophy.
Also, be sure to check out our other podcast, the DC Evo Show, which is, we're eagerly anticipating their third episode, which has hit some severe technical roadblocks. We're trying to get that one out soon. Also, if you want to get a hold of us, there is a phone number you can call us at. Let's see. You put me in a coin. Alex, what's the phone number?
330-PROVEN-9. I don't actually have the agenda up, so you're going to have to finish it for me.
Yield, what's the number?
I don't have it up either, but it's... What did you say the first numbers were, Alex?
330.
That's what I thought you said. PROVEN-9. That's 330-PROVEN-9. Something, something, 776.
Aw, you guys can't do nothing without me.
330-776-8369. This is my best, Billy D. Williams.
You can go to the website and click on the tab on the right side that says leave the guys a voicemail. That is not just for podcasters. That is for everybody on the site. Also, you can find the same tab on our Facebook page. Speaking of our Facebook page, you can find that at www.facebook.com/provengamer. And please hit that like button. Now, with all that being said, we just have our sponsors to talk about. And now, Alex, I'm going to throw this to you because you'll put me on the spot for the last 2 weeks he hosted. Why don't you tell us about our first sponsor, Extra Life?
Why, of course. Extra Life, of course, is a charity event that gives money to the Children's Miracle Network, and essentially the money goes to children's hospitals throughout the world. It was started through Sarcastic Gamer, and Jeremy Doc Adams was the main Sarcastic Gamer was the conduit, and Jeremy Adams was kind of the main guy behind it. He kind of came up with Sarcastic Gamer but Extra Life after one of his friends, Tori, she passed away after a long battle with cancer. And he was inspired by Tori and her bravery, and he started Extra Life, and he got the crew of Sarcastic Gamer behind it, and we all kind of rallied behind Doc, and we turned Extra Life into something. It started out small, and it's turned into something truly awesome, and Doc is still the main driving force behind it. He's always been the main driving force. He and the memory of Tori So essentially what it is every single year, October 25th is the date this year, one day we spend 24 hours playing video games. We essentially collect donations from people. It can be any amount. It can be a dollar an hour, any amount you really want. And you collect donations and you play for a hospital. I would play, say, for Cosairs Children's Hospital in Louisville. And you, all the money that you collect and you amass, goes, 100% of it goes to the hospital that you choose. So all the money goes to help sick children in the hospital.
I will be streaming the whole time. If any of our staff members are going to be streaming, I will be putting their streams on the front page at ProvenGamer.com. I'm trying to find out how to do one giant stream so you can go to one link and watch all of our streams at one time and then individually choose who you want to make bigger and whatnot and watch. I'm trying to figure that out. I'm not going to promise I have that set up by the time Extra Life comes around, but I am trying very hard to make this the best year that Proven Gamer has broadcasted Extra Life. But you can definitely find me at on our official Twitch page, which is twitch.tv/Proven Gamer. I will be streaming the entire 24 hours.
You can find me on my PlayStation playing games. with more than likely possibly Tricky, Donnie, or Alex.
I'll tell you what. I'm throwing down the gauntlet right now. If I raise $500 for my Extra Life, everybody that donated to my page can choose the song that I sing. Because you can change instruments in between.
All we got to do is donate, huh?
That's it.
All right.
Minimum of a $5 donation.
There you go. So for every $5 you donate, that's a song you can pick?
That's a song you can pick.
Uh-oh.
All right, speaking of our other sponsors, we have a GoFundMe in which we are trying to get some podcast equipment, trying to get Yield some better internet so he's not on a 10-second delay every time we have a conversation. Exactly. Go to our GoFundMe.com/ProvenGamer and please donate. This is to get us new equipment for podcasts. And as you can tell, if you listen to the unedited version of our show, you can see that we desperately need this equipment. And because he's on a 10-second delay, we're going to put him on the spot. Yield, who else are we sponsored by?
Amazon!
That's actually pretty good. Speaking of Amazon, yes, please, if you can do some shopping on Amazon, please stop by the website first, click on the Amazon link, and continue to do normal shopping. Doesn't cost you anything extra and does help out the site tremendously. With all that being said, I think we have covered all of our housekeeping. Time to move on to our shout-outs. Yield, who would you like to shout-out first?
My nuts, because I just dropped them.
You just dropped your nuts?
I'll give a shout out to Tricky, who just had a birthday, and any of you who
you bastards,
any of you who weren't around, I was busting Tricky's balls on a post on Facebook and tagged Alex in, and before you knew it, me, him, and Donnie were all busting his balls the same night on his way to work on his birthday. So great times. Shout out to you, Tricky, for a birthday. Shout out to my wife and sister-in-law who has birthdays coming up in the near future. Shout out to the fans for listening. Shout out to you guys for allowing me to be on the show and to record shows with you guys. Always a blast. Always a fun time. Shout out to Homer Get Stuffed, Prepare to Die or Scum, and shout out to actually a fall season. It's been a while since we actually had a fall in my area, and kind of a Fluffkin Torpedo overtime, because by the end of this month I'll have 58 hours of overtime in, so I'm taking October off.
That's a lightweight month.
Hey, for me, that's a lot, Mr. I work a government job and get paid an excessive amount of money. Oh, wait, did I say that out loud?
Alex, you have any shout-outs, buddy?
I thought that was my inner monologue.
Tricky to know how to segue away from that one. He's basically like, oh shit, fire, turn and run.
I'm trying not to have a conversation.
So I'd like to give a shout out, as always, to the listeners for being awesome and making the show what it is, helping us stay afloat, and helping us grow as well. So you guys are awesome. Thank you for listening every week. Of course, I want to give a shout out to Tricky, who we continue to lambaste with Rangers and Kings jokes, but he always does a pretty good job of taking it. And of course, he recently had a birthday, so had to call him up that night, give him a good happy birthday. So
yeah, it was kind of late in there.
It was 8 o'clock. So like I said to Tricky, I got to ask you what you did that day instead of saying, "Well, I hope you have a good day." We actually got to have a conversation. Now, granted, you were on your way to work and you had to work on your birthday, so it wasn't that great.
I was at work, and it was 8:34, by the way.
And he was playing video games, getting paid to play video games.
That's all right. Yes, so you talked to him right after I did, because he called me on his way to work and was like, damn you guys, why are you doing this?
No, I called you the next day about that.
Oh, is that what it was? Oh.
Yes.
So I definitely want to give a shout out to Tricky. Shout out to Yield, of course, who he brings the awesome. And Donnie.
Your partner in crime on that day.
Donnie, who couldn't be here with us. And
Donnie, man, you need to come back, because I think it's a conspiracy. I think it's like a Jeter conspiracy. Tricky's trying to get rid of you.
Does Yield have him tied up in his basement? Or does NM Rain have him tied up in his basement?
No, I think Donnie has given me the best birthday gift ever, and actually missed the last two episodes, that gave me a nice two shows that I can enhance my calm while recording.
Center your chi. I think center we need
all
more.
Alright, so that means when Donnie comes back, you're going to be pretty mellow for the first couple episodes. He's not going to honk you off so fast. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I had to do my woosah.
You know, I'm surprised I've made it through this entire episode, because I've been congested all day. Sounded like a Muppet or a duck. So
how's that different from any other week?
Oh really? That's exactly. I sound like the Aflac duck. Yeah, thanks for that, Tricky. To finish my shout outs, gonna give a shout out to the Green Bay Packers, who won in dominating fashion this week over NFC North rival the Bears. Give a special shout outs to Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson, who dominated my fantasy team, and a very special shout out to my little sister, family by choice, Sam, who recently got engaged to her wonderful boyfriend, now fiance, Phil. So special shout out to Phil and Sam.
Phil Fish?
No, not at all. Special shout out to Phil and Sam for getting engaged. It's wonderful, and I love them very much. Very, very happy for them. So.
Someone's gonna be in a wedding.
And I want to give a shout out.
You can't give any shout outs.
I want to give a shout out to you guys. Thank you both for making my birthday what it was.
I start laughing. That was fun.
I know you guys do it out of love, and that's what keeps me going. But I gotta tell you guys are really pissing me off. if I'm being honest. With that being said, I want to give a shout out to
who needs enemies.
Exactly. Want to give a shout out to Donnie, who, although he did not call me for my birthday, he did send me a message on Skype saying "Merry Birthday," in Donnie's only fashion.
yep, that's Donnie.
Well, usually he did it. Sent me a Twitter message. He tweeted to me on my birthday last year to send me that, and I in kind responded on Twitter to him and said, "Well, now that he's on Facebook," or he said, "Sent to my friend request on Facebook, I can write him a big old note and send it to him a message or get him an e-card for his birthday." But I told him on Twitter last year, "Happy birthday! I'm glad your parents had sex and made you."
Yes,
it's all about love on Trophy Horse.
Yes. Speaking of love, I would be remiss if I didn't mention this, and I know that. I know Yield is probably not going to let me get through this, but I want to give a huge shout out to Derek Jeter, who, as of this recording, has played his final game for the New York Yankees. I know the Yankees out there, they get a lot of hate and whatnot, But as a baseball fan, it doesn't matter who your favorite team is. You have to respect who Derek Jeter was, his career and whatnot. And I think it's apropos that his final, as Yul's doing the tiny little violin in the video. I think it's apropos that his final at bat came at 2:22 p.m. And I think that's symbolic.
I'll tell you, it's a conspiracy.
But no matter if you were a fan or not, you have to respect Derek Jeter. And I just want to give a heartfelt shout out to him and a wonderful career. I don't know what next year is going to look like with the Yankees without him being in at shortstop. So you shout out to you.
It'll look like this and year. I know they missed the playoffs.
And I know that he will never listen to this episode because why would Derek Jeter listen to Trophy Horse?
Because we're but awesome.
With that being said, if there is nothing else, until next week, hopefully Donnie's back next week.
Whoa! You forgot to mention our Extra Life stuff.
We had a whole Extra Life conversation.
We did, but we didn't mention that you could come donate to our individual pages.
If you want to find our Extra Life page, you can go to tinyurl.com/provengamer and then you find our team page. You can find my personal page at tinyurl.com/trickymick2014. Yield, you are making your page, but I'm sure that they can find your page by going to our team page.
Yep, it'll be on Proven Gamers team page. I yield to no one if they let me do it that way.
I don't think they do. I think you have to do your real name. I don't think they do. I think you have to use your real name.
Oh. Well, then you'll be able to find me at...
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. I win!
Not recently.
That's all right. I won enough in the past that I don't need to win now. I'm that good. But, yeah, you'll find me there and donate to me. Don't donate to Tricky.
Don't donate to Tricky?
Yeah, don't donate to Tricky. Donate to me. I bring the awesome. And I want a medal. But it's for the kids. So the kids get the medal. Yeah.
All right.
Awkward!
Alex, your page can be up by the time this show goes live?
Sure.
And they can also find your page by going to our team page?
Yes.
Yes! All right.
Can I close out the show now, Yield?
Yeah, you're good now.
Thank you. Now, with all that being said, instead of next week, happy trophy hunting, I'm going to close it out with this. Nobody can leave from the New York Yankees. The shortstop, number 2, Derek Jeter.
Did they say Pee Wee Herman?
Check it.
Asshole.
Check it. You done made it through another one.
Replay.
Now download another one.
Continue your hoarder.
Or you can go and do a Tricky Man and
chop it.
However you do it just to forget the ray and leave a comment. And thanks again and listen to the show. Now it's time for me to go. Peace out to another episode.